Somewhere across the bifrost, way up high.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. Joining me today, as always, is my dear friend Pat Dunford from Across the Pond. And today, we're assembling the Avengers to talk about an extremely popular affiliation. But first, Pat, how you doing?
Well, TT, I was doing pretty good. You know, we just recorded our 100th episode. I was feeling great about the podcast, and I was thinking, well, me and TT, we're a great team. Then I go onto Facebook, and what do I see? But I see there's another podcast, The Daily Bugle, and you're one of the co-hosts. TT, have you been cheating on me with another pod?
Yes. Mark Garreau and Jay Larson, I apologize. I still think you're on more other podcasts than I am, but yeah, just a daily news podcast, Pat. That's all it is. Just once a month.
I was thinking
about you the whole time.
Thank you. And you're sharing MCP news, right? So where can listeners find you?
Across the Bifrost.com. Wow, what a seamless plug that was, Pat. And basically, yeah, we just, for me, especially not being on social media, it's really hard to keep up with everything AMG announces. So we just kind of, Mark is on to review all the different announcements, things to kind of look forward to. And then Jay is on to explain, at least to Americans, what's going on with the current shipping predicament, where things are, how they're getting moved around. So that was the podcast. And the first episode was really long because, as you know, October is kind of crazy, right? There were so many character updates. In the future, we hope to keep it to about a 15 to 20 minute pod.
So it's something to tune into. Is it once a month if you just want to stay up to date with what's happening in the game?
Yep, once a month. Should drop on the first of every month. So just a short one, just recap what's going on, basic changes. And, you know, there's so many in-depth pods. You know, we do it, a bunch of other people. But, this is just a topical. In case you missed it, in case you weren't paying attention, this is what happened.
Yeah, sounds good. Good, especially if you're a casual player of the game and you don't want to spend hours diving deep into pods to get your news.
Exactly. But if you do want to spend hours diving deep, we're here for you. Let's start our Sleeve It or Heave It with an interesting card, Warpath. So Warpath is an unaffiliated reactive card. After an attack, the damage an ally character is resolved. The damaged character may spend one power, and the character may advance short towards the attacking character. And correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but this card came out long before you heard about Colossus too, right?
Yeah, it's got Colossus's art on it, which is awesome. I think it came out with, is it Cable and Domino?
I thought
this is a real quiz. Yeah, I'm not sure, but it came out a little while ago now. It's been in the wild for a bit. We've had a chance to play with it. And you know what? I've been pleasantly surprised by Warpath. I wanted to talk about it because I'm a little bit on the fence still. I don't think it is a slam dunk amazing card. But when you get a good use out of it, it can be very powerful. And the one power cost is pretty cheap.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I have never used this card. I think on the surface, I look at it, I'm like, well, I'll just take climbing gear. But I get what you're saying. There's definitely flexibility with it being reactive, and it is much cheaper.
Yeah. Climbing gear, of course, being able to use it outside of your activation on your own terms is really good for things like escaping. And Warpath is never going to help you escape, right? You're going to be moving towards people. But it has really nice synergy with characters that do that kind of aggressive thing, right? It's really cool with characters like Sabretooth and Venom to get them up in the action and making retaliatory attacks. And it stacks with aggressive on Sabretooth or Crossbones, and you can catapult people forward in the right circumstance.
So what kind of teams have you been using this with, Pat? Have you been using it with Avengers?
So I haven't actually been using it with Avengers, but I like it on characters who are tough enough that they want to be sort of moving into the fight when they're getting damaged, and they're realistically expecting to survive their opponent's activation. I've actually had success using it on Magneto, right? He's a character that also likes climbing gear, but one of the things I like about Magneto is you're not getting pushed when you get attacked. So Warpath is moving you forward rather than just correcting a push. And don't get me wrong, correcting a push is a fine use for the card, but I like that it's kind of guaranteeing an aggressive movement, and then Magneto gets paid off for getting within range two. And I found that it's caught some people unawares, because Magneto's range band's not that good, right? Range three and range two, people can play around that. And Warpath is a way of saying, if you're attacking Magneto, he will retaliate on you really hard.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think mainly in my head, I thought of it like you said. It was almost like a defensive countermeasure to like, oh, you shurried me, I'm going to get back in the fight. I do like what you say about just changing kind of the threat vector of it. And I know you mentioned Sabretooth. I think that's a great mention, right? Carnage and Venom kind of come to mind as other characters that might want to utilize as well. So that's an interesting, it's an interesting take on it to just like guarantee you're going to get mileage out of these mid-range beaters, right?
Right, and I think having played some games with Hulkbuster, who is probably someone we will talk about a bit more in this pod, one thing I've noticed is the range 3 is definitely something you can play around. And if your opponent is attacking you from outside of range 3, Hulkbuster can be pretty sad because his first activation then is just a move. And Warpath could be a good way for him to get into the action if people are shooting him with longer range attacks.
I kind of like, yeah, I like that. I hadn't considered it with Hulkbuster, but I think the value of this, right, it's going to be higher on any kind of higher value character, right? Same as the Sam Avengers affiliation, which we will talk about, right? You want to be moving the most expensive character possible, right?
Yeah, and also, of course, it's a movement ability, so if you've got a bigger base, you get to go further. So those expensive characters with big bases, Hulkbuster, Hulk, right, they definitely have good uses for Warpath.
Okay, so, I still don't know how, I guess, I probably need to sleeve it. I'm not saying it's going to stay in the sleeve it range, but I probably need to get it on the table. I think I don't have a problem recommending that.
Yeah, what I'll say about Warpath is, when you think about it in the dojo, you always think, okay, it seems fine, but is it really worth it? And then when you play with it, I have not had a game where I haven't been able to do something great with it. There's always an opportunity to play it and be really happy with it.
I think that's a great point. And I'm running through all these characters in my head, like Omega Red would honestly really like this card, right? It's kind of a weird, someone you wouldn't think of. Ancient One, I think, would really like this card. I've been playing a little bit of Convocation lately. I could see, you could do some cute things with it with Initial Daredevil, right? Ghost Rider is another character. Yeah, I could. Yeah. I think it's definitely worth checking out. So yeah, I'm going to give it a tentative sleeve it.
That's cool. You can play a couple of games with it and then decide if it stays in the sleeve or if it gets heaved into the
Exactly. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's definitely worth dusting it off, taking it out there, and actually getting some real repetitions with it. So, hey, great inclusion there on the Warpath.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a fun one, and I'd encourage our listeners to do the same. Give it a go. If you've not played with it already, it is much better than it looks.
All right, so today is going to be a kind of a big sprawling episode. And for the record, despite my love of Avengers, this was not my idea for this episode. And kind of, there's been a bunch of different catalysts that have kind of brought Avengers back into the forefront here. And I think at the head, right, there's basically two things, Pat, and correct me if I'm wrong here. It's obviously the release of Sam, and then we tacked on a bunch of core set Avengers updates. And the two of those things together, I feel like, have kind of culminated into Avengers mania right now.
Oh, absolutely, because Sam Wilson-led Avengers is one of the most popular teams to play right now. They're doing really well in the online league. They're, well, I can't speak for everyone's local meta, but they seem to be popular with most people that I'm speaking to. And then the revitalization of these core set characters is really exciting for Hulk, Captain America, and the other Avengers that are getting dusted off. So they're good now, and they look like they're going to get even better in future with these positive changes to these old characters.
All right, so let's go ahead. Let's hit on what changed in the core set themselves. I'll start with the original Captain America. The big changes, there were some size changes and who we can push and who we can throw, kind of minor. The big one is just shield throw granting a power was just kind of the major change there, right? It just made his power economy so much smoother.
And, of course, shield throw going up to 5 dice. That double buff to that attack made it from one of the worst attacks in the game, like one of the worst builders, to one of the best. Because as builders go, it does really respectable damage and it has guaranteed power gain on a character that doesn't need a lot of power. You know, he's got 2 superpowers that cost 2 each and his leadership reduces them to 1 and his spender costs 2 power. So just have it, like, he is such a good character to get an automatic 1 power because he could use his reactive superpowers with it every time and he can quickly get to his spender. And then 5 dice with Ricochet is actually just a really good attack. And when you do get that Ricochet on 5 dice and you get to build 2 power and potentially damage 2 targets, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is. It's just such a, I feel like this is my slogan now. It's such a great quality of life change with him. It's just...
I don't think it's even a quality of life change. I think it actually changes how the character works.
It's a major change. Yeah.
Yeah, because
his ability to put out damage is so much higher than it used to be, right?
Right.
And previously, you really had to decide, do I even want to interact on round one? Because if I interact on one round one, there's a legitimate chance I get ignored, which is what your opponent should do, and then I'm just like starved for power in round two. And when do I start influencing the game, right? And now he's able to kind of impact the game. He's able to stay back, protect, squish your characters, still get in there with attacks on shield throw, like we talked about. So more than a quality of life change. Just
really major, because it turns him into a really good range turret, right? He can sit at range four. He doesn't need line of sight. He ignores cover. He can potentially make four attacks a round if he gets ricochets off, generating all the power he needs to bodyguard people and stay alive. And he couldn't do that before. It felt like a waste of time to throw a shield because you didn't get anything out of it and you might just power up your opponent. But it's a big change. And he's now a really effective range character, as well as being better up close than he was because of the increased size on his push and throw.
Yeah, so definitely, again, major changes to Captain America. Another captain got above Captain Marvel. I'm doing this off the top of my head, right? But her throw went up to size 4, and binary form was reduced in power cost. Am I missing something else there, Pat?
Yeah, she also gained immunity to incinerate.
Okay, yeah, not nothing. Very relevant.
Yep. So I like Captain Marvel. I used her in a bunch of games this past weekend in an event where we were playing with the new stuff that had been previewed. And she is good. She's always been absolutely fine. And she does always do really good single target damage for her cost, right? Like the re-rolling beams is good. Adding in the throw is good. But she still has this problem, which is she wants to be zapping people with energy. She only gets one power at a time. Her throw costs 3 power. Binary form is cheaper, but it's still really expensive at 4 power. Like, it's very hard to have an activation where you get to both throw and binary form. And it's sometimes feels like you can't even do either of them because she wants to be out of range for the throw and she doesn't have the power for binary.
That's an interesting point. And I guess I've only been playing Carol with Cap. So then the throw gets put down to 2 power. Now, you bring a very interesting point of, like, I love Energy Blast. It's my favorite attack in the game. It is really weird when you combine that with a range 2 medium throw, right? Like, if I'm leveraging Energy Blast, where I want you close to max range on 4, you know, I want to be playing in a B scenario probably so I can easily, you know, sit on mine and double tap you with the thing, it's hard to get value out of the other thing. So I have had it be a little cyclical, right? Where, all right, round 1, she's not throwing. Round 2, she's throwing. Round 3, she's not. Round 4, she might go binary. It's pretty rare to be Valkyrieing of old, right? Where she's getting mileage out of that throw or binary every round.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the other hand, it is kind of okay if she just has one of these options as a backup, right? It's absolutely fine to have a plan to go binary and zap people. And then if someone comes in and tries to take her down, then her throw comes online, right? As a escape mechanism, as a way to create separation for her. So I like the full character package, and I also like the immunity to incinerate. And she seems like a fantastic option in Avengers for sitting on that back point in Demon's Downtown, not caring about incinerate, and just shooting anyone that comes anywhere near the center of the table.
I've enjoyed being slightly more aggressive with her, because if you power her up, she's one of those characters that can really punish you, right? If she's in the midfield and you're attacking her with power, right, her ability to go binary, toss a ton of dice out there, be incredibly sticky to remove, plus the throw is an interesting consideration there for me. A couple different ways you can play her. I'm obviously not as excited about her as where I am for the Steve Rogers changes, but... Nothing wrong with it. Definitely makes her better, more interesting. And she just falls into this glut of fours, right? Where honestly, there's just a lot of options. And we'll get to it with the affiliated Avengers list, too. There's even a decent amount of competition in that affiliation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in Avengers, the thing that she does best is high range damage output. And if you want a 4 threat character to hit people at range, then she is one that I'd consider. And I also like her in other affiliations that help her build power.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's literally the comparison to Vision is literally what my mind's thinking of, right? And that's kind of why I've always struggled with her fitting her in. But, I mean, this sounds really bad. There's nothing wrong with taking her. Like, if you enjoy playing her, that's great. I think, honestly, she'll see more play in something like A-Force than Avengers. I don't know what you think of that, Pat, but I do think she's an interesting alternative for the drop-off, their leadership fudging power around. I think that's a decent home for her.
I agree. She's also great in Brotherhood, I think. But comparing her to Vision, which is a good comparison, she does more damage to a single target, right? Her energy blasts do more damage than Vision's beam. Her throw is bigger. And of course, she's got Baidu form, which then makes her damage output much better than Vision. But on the other hand, Vision is tougher, right? More flexible with his phasing, and he's got a beam. So as soon as he's hitting multiple targets, his damage output is going up. But I do think they're more comparable now, whereas before Vision certainly outshone Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a conversation to have now. And there's definitely relevant things for her too, right? If you're playing on one of the energy flips, she's obviously a much more appealing character than Vision is there, right? If you want to end up with a Meteors team or something like that. So, good changes for her in general. So Tony Stark is the other one that changed. And honestly, Friday AI changed. And was there anything else?
Nope. Just one single solitary change. Friday AI went from 3 power to 2 power. And let me tell you, TT, this seems like a small change, but it makes a huge difference. It's massive for Iron Man. I was using him all weekend and loving him.
Yeah, man, now you got me all confused and in my head about it. I think I was talking about this with Mark. For newer players, Iron Man was like a staple for the first 6 to 9 months of the game, I'll say, where he's just like this semi-tanky, obnoxious to remove three that you stuck over there, and randomly he would just belch out a bunch of damage. And now he just belches out that bunch of damage a lot sooner.
Yeah, he's a character that is deceptively good in the context of how you play MCP, because he's tough enough and cheap enough that he's fantastic for holding extracts. And then he's tough enough and has a push so that he is good for holding secures. And he's just a very efficient model for, like you said, sticking somewhere and scoring points. And if you can get him on a secure holding an extract near the back of the table, you're loving life, because he's doing his job while impacting other scenario elements and being hard to remove.
Yeah, and I think this is an interesting to point out. When Pat and I say he's sticky or durable, what I normally mean, at least, Pat, and correct me if I'm wrong, if this isn't how you approach it, another three isn't going to trivially remove him. You're going to have to put like a concentrated effort from more than one character into him. And I think that's normally a win, just when you look at the value that he brings to you that way.
To be honest, look at his defensive stats. I had him take on Hulkbuster for 3 rounds the other day. Like, it doesn't even need to be a three. He's just got very, very good defensive stats. Just like Lizard, Luke Cage, War Machine. That 4 physical defense, automatic damage reduction, it makes
four,
it very exactly. annoying.
4-3-3 with the damage reduction is phenomenal. 5 stamina too, so yeah, he's so again, slight buff to Iron Man, but we think a pretty big change. Pat, what happened to Hulk?
Well, a lot happened to Hulk. Huge amount. And it completely changes how the character works. So, first off, his strike changed massively. It got an extra dice of damage, so it's 7 dice, which is very good. And it now generates power equal to damage dealt, which is a huge buff. It didn't do that at all in the past. On top of that, his defenses got massively increased. He went from 2 physical, 2 energy, 3 mystic, to 4 physical, 3 energy, 3 mystic. And he got a new superpower that lets him reroll his defensive dice, Hulk not Puny Banner. So these changes are obviously enormous. He did lose out a little bit in the... he doesn't increase his damage by as much for the amount of damage he takes. So it takes for every 4 points of damage now that he's suffered, he'll increase his dice pool by 1 when he's making attacks. But considering that his most commonly used attack increased its pool by default, and he's going to generate so much more power and he's much harder to kill, this is a very different model that does exactly what you'd expect. He wades in, he smashes people, he takes a lot of punishment, and he just keeps on fighting.
Yeah, it takes a lot of punishment is right. He is an incredibly hard model to remove now, right? It used to be you could just like spam rapid fire shots into Hulk, a couple spike and like, okay, well, I guess it's time to KO him. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely not the case now. An incredibly impactful model. I love the changes. He's a great centerpiece model. Like, whenever I demoed the game, I used Hulk just because like the model on the table looks so cool. And I'm glad that he actually, his play kind of backs up with his fandom and honestly the model.
Yeah. He's great in lots of places. I really like him with Steve Rogers, Captain America's leadership, right? Because he's got a reactive defensive power and he's got a great throw and a great gamma leap effect that he's going to be using in his own turns. So he can generate a lot of power and you can use that offensively, defensively, or for mobility. So he has a great place in Avengers. He still loves being bodyguarded because he's still a big basket full of eggs that you want to keep alive. So he goes so well with Captain America. On top of that, TT, you're laughing a lot. Okay, on top of that,
this mental image of a big basket of like Easter eggs.
Yeah, big green eggs.
Yeah.
Captain America's like the Easter Bunny, guarding over them. On top of that, he still generates his 3 power a turn passively, which enables a lot of tactics cards. It enables a lot of cool round one or subsequent plays. I think he's going to have loads of homes.
Yeah, I definitely think he's going to be prevalent in and out of Avengers. And it's one of those... I feel like whenever I've played miniatures games, you have to be aware when these characters change. Because a lot of times people go into games with these preconceived notions, these muscle memory you've built up against playing against the old versions of them. And you will be very surprised if you ignore or trivialize Hulk. He will punish you dearly for it.
He will. He will. In a way that he couldn't do before, right? It was completely legitimate in the past to ignore him. Or, as you said, to just turn all your guns on him and remove him in a round. And those, both of those are way less practical options now. He's going to be really fun to use on the table.
All right. And we saved the best for last. The biggest change to the core set, I think, was definitely Ricochet Blast, Pat. So what happened to Ricochet Blast?
Yeah, right. So we heard about this on one of the AMG streams where they were playing with the core set changes. And so we know that Ricochet Blast has gone down in cost. It used to cost 2 power each for Iron Man and Captain America. Now it costs only 1. And okay, it's a pretty small change. But once again, it adds up, you know, and in conjunction with the improvements to Iron Man and there being now 2 really good Captain Americas, this seems like a good card to me.
2 Iron Mans as well, right?
Right. I mean, Hulkbuster in his Hulkbuster form can't use the card, but when he pops out, little Iron Man can use Ricochet Blast.
Right. And with it only costing 1, it's much more reliable for him to use reinforcements. Got another, right? So, yeah.
That's definitely true. With regular Iron Man, it works really well with his cheaper Friday AI, right? Because Ricochet Blast, you get to reroll your attack dice. Friday AI adds 2 more dice on top. So it's only costing you 3 power on Iron Man to do a, is it 9 dice reroll all attack plus 1 power on Captain America? That's pretty spicy.
Yeah. I haven't been taking Ricochet Blast, if we're being honest. Maybe I should. It's very thematic.
I'll tell you what. It's really good. It does have a problem, which I have come to... It's been apparent to me in the last few games I've taken it. I've taken it a few times and not played it. And the reason is, both Captain Americas are at their best now making range 4 attacks. And, okay, Ricochet is measured from them and it's range 4, so you do have some targets. But you don't have like the wealth of targets you might expect because these characters are now kind of like firmly at the back of the table. Especially Sam Wilson, Captain America, who basically makes it his life's work to just stay out of harm's way and throw shields from places of safety, right?
He does not want to die.
No, he really does not want to die. And I've had, like, every time I've taken it, I've been in this position where I've been like, okay, Iron Man also is a good long-range attacker, right? He's got his range 4 attack and his range 5 attack. But he is more expendable than the Captain Americas. And he's actually kind of tougher for his cost. And so I've often been in a situation where I've been like, well, Iron Man is like the furthest forward character. And so Ricochet Blast is kind of like a short range because I've got to measure from these other guys that are behind him. And so it feels more like a range 2 attack from Iron Man because he's still going to make it his activation. So that's kind of weird. In addition, line of sight is measured from Captain America, and Captain Americas kind of want to be heading behind things, throwing their shields that don't use line of sight. And so I've had all these times where I'm like, I want to use this card, but firing it off Captain America kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's a good. It seems like a first world problem, but I definitely understand where you're coming from there. And obviously, you've gotten a lot of games, and I think the meat of this podcast we wanted to get to was dojoing a little bit, because we feel like there's probably a lot of different ways you could build Avengers right now, right, Pat?
Tons of ways.
And yeah, some of the things to highlight at first, and Pat, thanks for doing the work on this. I'm going to steal it and use your numbers here. They have the most leaders in the game, right? We have three affiliated leaders now with two Captain Americas and a Hulkbuster. they have the most affiliated characters. Pat says 26, which I believe it's just a ton. They have one amazing team tactics card and then a couple that are just fine.
one that is still the worst tactics card in the game.
You're talking about where you take damage to give Hulk damage?
Anger management? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Second Wind isn't exactly stellar. But Avengers Assemble is great. We all like that.
Avengers Assemble is phenomenal. It's in the conversation for the best tactics card in the game, in my opinion.
It's
so good.
It's a short conversation, though. You're like, is Avengers Assemble the best tactics card in the game? And you're like, no. And you're like, okay, well, that was a fun conversation.
No, it legitimately is. Like, it is, every time I play it, it is the best, most impactful tactics card that I've played that game. Often better than all you've got. Okay, sometimes all you've got is better. But I honestly think it is usually better than Wakanda Forever.
But is that because of the power of the card or the affiliation?
It's a combination, right? Because obviously these things don't exist in a vacuum. Right, Wakanda Forever is the card that we have time and time again held as the best card of the game. But you know what? Wakanda hasn't got any more characters since then. And Wakanda Forever is... Yeah, they've got Storm and she's not very good at using Wakanda Forever, right? And so Wakanda Forever is a great tactics card, but it's basically, at best case, is often a Black Panther attack, a Shuri push, and a Okoye attack. And that's good. But good. Avengers Assemble can be your entire team moving. And I had a game yesterday where that meant literally every one of my characters moved on and scored a victory point. One of them got the research from the center, three others all got infinity formulas. And that card just got me 5 victory points, not to mention enabling an attack on the character whose activation it was.
I'm going to throw another card out there, and this is Portals.
Yeah, Portals is an interesting one, right? Because that is certainly affiliation defining.
That's my thing. It fundamentally changes how that affiliation works, right?
Yeah, and you know what? If Defenders won more games, I'd agree that that card was good. But have you seen the TTS stats for them?
No, I have not.
They're at like 25% win rate.
That's a harsh take. Is that the Defenders' fault, though?
Well, I mean, the only reason to play Defenders is that card of Doctor Strange Leadership, and Doctor Strange Leadership is nothing special, right? So...
It's always an interesting combination there, though, when we talk about this, and I'll promise I'll make this detour quick, right? People used to point in War Machine to affiliation win losses, and I definitely think there's value to look in those. But at some part, you need to look at the players that are playing them as well, right?
Well, TT, let me interrupt you by pointing out I have played Defenders twice in the online league.
Oh, I know.
So I do think they're fine, and I do enjoy playing them. But I think Pentagrams defines them. But I honestly don't think it's as powerful as some of the other affiliated only cards. It's just that if you're playing that affiliation, you will play Pentagrams because it's the reason to play the affiliation.
All right, well, we can have a longer conversation about this later. But either way, we both really like Avengers Assemble. Yeah, and this gives us a really wide canvas, and it can kind of be daunting to tackle what we want to do with an Avengers roster. Pat, I know you've played a lot of Avengers recently, so how did you tackle this? What was your mindset heading into it?
Yeah, it's really tough because on top of all of that, I also have in the back of my mind that the crises system is changing, right? And I don't think we can go too much into detail of that. It's probably worthy of its own podcast. But that is another spanner in the works that makes it difficult to figure out exactly how to build the right roster, because you have a huge number of options and also the ground has changed underneath us. So it's hard to know which options to take. What's clear, though, is first and foremost, you absolutely can't fit everything in the roster, right? It's not like Asgard or Wakanda where you go, oh, I'm playing this team. I can just take all of the affiliated characters, or at least all the ones who I think are good. Yeah. With Avengers, you can have a squad of 10 Avengers who are all excellent and you haven't taken all of the good Avengers. and you have not, you can't even take every good Avengers game plan in a single roster.
Yeah, no, there's a ton of Avengers. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So how did you? So you're there. I know you played them recently in a crisis, an in-person crisis, right, in London?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I had good success with them. They were really fun. One of the things that I think you have to do is you have to decide a little bit which synergies you want to take advantage of in your roster building. And I think the first one to look at is the leaderships, right? In particular, the two Captain Americas, because Hulkbuster's leadership is fine, but it's more of a counter leadership, right? You take it if you think your opponent is doing something. You don't necessarily plan your proactive game plan around it. It's just nice to have in your option in case you face off against Magneto or Asgard or something. So putting aside Hulkbuster, you've got Sam Wilson's leadership, which is fantastic basically with anybody. We've talked before about how in theory it's better if you have more characters, but in practice it's also good to be able to move, heal, and take away a status effect from an expensive character. So it's kind of fine with everybody, but maybe a slight bonus consideration to having more cheap characters, arguably. And then you've got Captain America Steve Rogers, who's fine with most characters, but definitely better when you have characters that always want to be using superpowers in their turn and have reactive powers to get the most out of the discount. There's some characters who are amazing with Sam Wilson, who Steve Rogers doesn't help at all, right? Iron Fist and War Machine are two pillars of the current MCP metagame, right? That get no benefit at all from Steve. And when you're building your 10 characters, Steve gives a lot of potential for shenanigans, right? He lets you do a lot of nonsense turn one plays with his leadership cost reduction. But if you're playing a wide Sam Wilson roster, you don't have a lot of room for shenanigans. You know, models like Cable and Quicksilver are really interesting with Steve as like sometimes options that might be good on the right crisis, but it's hard to fit those pieces into a roster that has other game plans.
All right, so it sounds like you're saying you really need to sit down, come up with the way that you want to play and focus in this roster, right? Because it's really easy, I think, to get stuck in the weeds and be like, well, I want this. You know, you're shopping, you get to the checkout, and you realize you don't have enough money for everything, right?
Yeah, you've almost got to think of Avengers as being like a dual affiliation. You want to have your primary game plan that you want to play most often, and then maybe you can splash out on a couple of tactics cards and character choices for a secondary game plan. And that might basically mean preferring one leadership and having some options for the second, because you just can't get everything in for both of them.
All right, so where did you start? How did you start by tackling this mess? Personally, right, I've been making Steve Rogers rosters and then just jamming Hulkbuster in. But where did you end up starting with this?
Well, that's not a bad place to start, right? I think one thing that I've been really enjoying is Sam Wilson is incredible with Steve Rogers' leadership. It's sensational. The synergy he has with one cost charge on turn one, or one cost airlift, one cost vibranium shield. He is one of the best characters in the game for taking advantage of Steve's leadership. And he's actually just one of the best threes in the game, full stop. And he then gives you the second leadership option. And he's got great tactics card options. Because he and Steve together give you two options for Ricochet Blast, as we mentioned. They give you two options for Till the End of the Line. Okay, that one seems a bit of a stretch. But he also has Bird of Prey. And this is relevant because Avengers in our new world have 10 tactics card slots, right? And only one good affiliated card. So having good characters with good tactics card options is really compelling. So I really like taking Sam Wilson in my roster basically no matter what, because he's superb as a leader in his own right that builds your team, but he's also amazing with Steve. And obviously Steve being like the new hotness, this old character who has got new legs, I've been trying to build Steve teams first and foremost, but I found that if I'm not playing silly nonsense, I can cut models like Quicksilver and I can have a solid Steve Rogers team and still have a little bit of room for a couple of extra characters to make Sam Wilson wider squads work, if that's what I want.
Interesting. So we ended up in a similar place, to be honest, but I don't ever plan on playing Sam. And that's just because I'm stubborn and I want to play Steve. So I just shoehorned him in. And honestly, like at first it was a shoehorn. And then, like you said, after playing, I'm like, oh no, he's just really, really good. Right.
So good.
But I don't have a great, like, five wide Sam team in my roster that I plan on taking. It sounds like you still have both, right? Where you can threaten a little bit of a wider team with Sam out there.
Yeah, and part of that is because one of my favorite Avengers by a mile is Vision. I've been using Vision nonstop for the last few months in Sam Wilson squads, and he's sensational. And Vision is also a fine character to have with Steve, and he's just a really good all-round character that's good in lots of different circumstances against lots of different opponents. So when you've got him and Sam in your roster, it doesn't take that much more to become affiliated, and you can throw in some unaffiliated options if you like.
I definitely think that Sam or Vision is, I mean, the main appeal for me for Vision is just like, he's never in a bad, you're never upset that you have him.
Right.
He's always going to be able to contribute. He's always going to be a good, meaningful character. And that's honestly one of the knocks about taking Captain Marvel over him, right? Unfortunately, you are compared to your peers in this, and Vision's just,
It's also just difficult because, you know what? We've seen the Enchantress and Medusa are getting a little bit tweaked. We talked about that in a previous episode.
Right?
And they were previously metagame defining in the sense that they were incredibly powerful fourth threat characters. And you would often try to fit one or both of them in most rosters if you were playing to win. And now that they've been dethroned, Avengers might have a monopoly on just all of the better or in the conversation for like top tier fourth threat models, right? In that top tier, I want to mention Venom. He's really cool. By the way, he's superb with Steve Rogers' leadership, as we talked about many times, like a year or 18 months ago. And then in terms of like incredible fourth threat characters, they have Vision, they have Black Panther, they have Dr. Voodoo, right?
Voodoo's good.
These three are in the running, in the conversation for best, or at least some of the best fourth threat characters in the game. Plus, they've got lots of other very good fourth threat characters, like new Captain Marvel, right? Tons of others. I don't want to go down the list because there's so many Avengers. Like Blade, right? There's lots of characters you can consider. But Avengers have no shortage of good fourth threats. And then, of course, Steve Rogers is a fourth threat leader. So, definitely one of the things you're going to have to decide when you make your Avengers roster is which are your four threats of choice going to be. And that is somewhat going to depend on your strategy and your crisis selection, right? Because Captain Marvel, for example, is an amazing Demons Downtown character. As we discussed, she's a beauty to incinerate, and she does incredible damage output, which tends to be what you want on Demons Downtown. But maybe you would consider Voodoo instead. He's also a beauty to incinerate. Maybe you want to play more crisis-oriented with characters like Voodoo and Black Panther. Maybe Vision backs up Captain Marvel as a more damage-oriented approach. You've got lots of options just in those four threats. And then when you get to three threat, you've got even more options and even more great choices to consider.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? I mean, the flip side is that what we talked about earlier, right? You could go Sam, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, right? And have a really compelling Meteors team suddenly, right?
Right.
If you think you can punish your opponent that way. So a bunch of different ways you can go there. So you started with Cap, Sam. You picked your favorite four, which it sounds like Vision. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you kind of took the, I hate saying auto includes, but kind of the necessary, you took the stuff to make Sam work, right? So you probably had War Machine and Iron Fist in there as well?
So I initially had War Machine and Iron Fist, but you know what? I really ummed and asked about this, and I think you can make some interesting decisions here, because the primary reason you take Iron Fist is Heroes for Hire, right? Luke Cage is perfectly good with Sam Wilson, and Luke Cage gets massive benefit from Steve Rogers, right? He reduces his reactive power to one cost, which is obviously a huge increase, and he reduces his throw to one cost in his own activation. So Luke Cage is really good with Steve. Whereas Iron Fist is getting no benefit from him. Similarly, War Machine gets no benefit from Steve, but Iron Man does, right? Iron Man gets to reduce his Friday AI to one cost under Steve, which is a big deal. And Iron Man is fulfilling some of the similar roles to War Machine. He is not doing the damage output, but he is the same defensive stat profile. So it's interesting that you suddenly have these options where you have similar competing characters who are all good, but maybe you'd rather have some or others depending on who your preferred leader is.
And that's why it was just a little easier the way I built it, where I'm like, Sam is almost never going to lead this team. And I'll be honest, like, you put way more thought into this than I did. I was just like, I'm just going to focus on making it a Steve roster. Because you do end up with this trying to serve two masters issue here, and people can't see I'm flim-flamming my hands back and forth, where it's like, oh, but this person's better for this. But this person's better for here. And which way do you end up leaning? So how did you pick and choose there? Did you split the baby in half?
Yeah, so I basically did, because I wanted to test as much stuff as possible. And I ended up with both Heroes for Hire and both War Machine and Iron Man. And I'll tell you, from a thematic point of view, it feels really cool to have them all on your roster. And actually, those four plus Sam is a really, really good 15-threat Avengers squad. So that gives you tons of options, and you still then have three amazing three-cross characters that synergize with Steve in Sam Wilson, Iron Man, and Luke Cage. And those five three-threats and Steve are six of your characters. I then added Vision as my preferred four. I didn't have room for any other fours. Probably a mistake. Dr. Voodoo, Black Panther, unaffiliated fours, all sensational. But of course, I wanted to play silly nonsense characters, and I obviously wanted to play Hulk. So I made room for Captain Marvel to test her, and she was fine. She was absolutely fine. And I played Hulk. And Hulk is great with both leaderships and great with cheap, tough characters as a way to just fill out the table and play a game without it all becoming about Hulk. And I think this kind of just like good Avengers with no particular game plan was a surprisingly effective roster.
She just jammed her full of good stuff and called it a day. So,
yeah, I just played good stuff and tested it out. And you know what? The good stuff was good.
Crazy how that works. And something that you hit on before, but I want to mention is, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts too, finding characters that bring powerful team tactics cards is important, because you're going to take your two restricted, you're going to take Avengers Assemble, and then you've got seven more slots, right?
So many slots. Right, and there aren't that many good Universal cards. Obviously, there's been a lot of speculation about what might happen with things like All You Got, but forgetting that stuff for a second, you definitely have room for some spicy options. And I think it's quite important to look at what character-specific cards you have, because Avengers only have that one affiliated card, as we mentioned. But actually, there's a lot of Avengers that don't have character-specific cards. And so the ones that do kind of go up in value, right? We mentioned already the Heroes for Hire. There's a couple of character-specific cards that are really good in the right circumstance. And that's almost exactly what you want, right, in this world of 10 tactics cards. The best example that I already mentioned is Sam Wilson himself with Bird of Prey, right? Bird of Prey is an amazing damage enhancer if your opponent is playing a flying character. It's a great option to have in your 10 because you basically can always be happy to play Sam Wilson. So you can know, okay, no matter what my leadership is, no matter my game plan, I'm happy to have Sam as my first affiliated three-threat character. And if my opponent is playing some flying characters, then I'm going to take him. And there's plenty of teams that guarantee flyers either with their leader or just with their common good affiliated choices.
I like Sam's inclusion there. In the past, if you remember, I was really high on Wolverine in Avengers because he brought two relevant cards. I fall off that bandwagon. I just personally haven't been happy with Wolverine on the table. We waxed about how amazing Vision is, right? And there's just some competition there. I've really liked Scarlet Witch, but I've had a hard time fitting her in there, to be honest. There's just a lot of compelling choices going on. She's fighting for some interesting headspace. And like you, I've been excited to get Hulk and Hulkbuster on the table.
Right.
And a lot of times you have to decide, like, do I want a 5 and a 3 or do I want a 6 and a 2? And just because of, like, new stuff syndrome, I've been leaning towards a 6 and 2 method.
Yeah. Those characters also have great cards, right? I think you absolutely could have a roster that has both Tony Starks in it, right? Little Iron Man and Hulkbuster. And obviously you're not playing both at the same time, but Helios Laser Bombardment is a fun card. It's a solid card. A lot of the Avengers are really good at making power, right? Vision, War Machine, Iron Fist, Hawkeye. you can definitely have a very strong team that is using Helios when you want it and has multiple options to play it basically every time because you've got two characters that could bring it out. Hulk has Gamma Launch, right? Which is a sensational card. The only downside I have with Gamma Launch is I think in most Avengers teams, I don't know who I want to be
who
launching.
Who are you throwing? Yeah, right. That's the problem.
And maybe that means Hulk, when he's taking Gamma Launch, is also taking up an extra character slot in the sense that maybe your Gamma Launch plan specifically wants a certain character to throw.
So I've been Gamma Launching Venom and enjoying it, right? But that's a reasonably expensive package we're talking about. And honestly, Venom has fallen out of favor just because it's hard to, like, I really like Vision. It's not a knock on Venom, right? Because Venom brings a powerful tactic card as well. He's interesting when you Gamma him up the table. But, you know, if you've got Steve, Hulk, Venom, that's already 14 threat right there, right?
Yeah, I do really like Venom, though. And Venom is so good. He's so good with Steve's leadership.
But you know
so
what?
Many snacks cheaper, the red line on turn one with no extra investment. So good.
Yeah, but I've loved Mysterio in Ooh. Avengers with oh. Sam or with Captain America. And he brings the Grand Illusion. I have had a ton of fun with that. And I Gamma launched him up there because you told me, Pat, you're like, you've just got to stick Mysterio mm-hmm. in the middle of the board and see mm-hmm. what happens. And once he just exploded, but it was okay. He had a decent flip side. Captain kept him alive. Yep. But it's kind of annoying to just have this Mysterio in the middle of the board, the reduction for tricks and traps. It's a thing.
That seems really good. I like it, especially because tricks and traps obviously is a reactive power, but you could also use it in your own turn. So it's a lot of cost saving on a character that generally has a kind of enough power, but not necessarily. Also makes it easier to use the Grand Illusion. And yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm a big fan of Mysterio. He seems excellent in that team.
Yeah, and if Avengers were lacking anything, right, it tends to be Mystic Attacks, but first world problem. You can get by without
them. Yeah, I mean, honestly, though. Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm lacking Mystic Attacks, except I've got Scarlet Witch, maybe the best Mystic Attack of the game, Dr. Voodoo, Blade, but you're right.
It's 26 affiliated characters, right?
Right, right. But especially cheap Mystic Attacks, right? I don't think they've got any three-costers with Mystic Attacks, and so Mysterio is filling that role.
I don't think they do either.
There just aren't that many three-costers of Mystic Attacks, right? There's like the Convocation people.
There's a reasonable amount of them now.
Yeah, there's certainly more, but not that many. There's basically so many options, and this is before considering other... I mean, there's so many other good unaffiliated includes. Apart from Mysterio and Venom, a character who I've been really enjoying, who I think is excellent, is Hood. I've had mixed success with Hood's gang. I found I haven't usually got a chance to activate Hood first when I really want to use it. It's been fine. But Hood I've really liked just because of the heal, right? The fact that he is, for three power, healing a character for three and giving them bleed, right? It costs two power under Steve. Let me tell you, healing a flipped Captain America for three damage is awesome. Makes your opponents real sad. Do you know what else is awesome? Vision and Luke Cage are two characters you want to be playing with that team. They both love being healed and they both need to bleed. And you can actually create situations where you just have this outlandishly durable team that is just like sitting in the middle of the table, playing over things like Research Station and Gamma Wave and just not dying. And you could say, well, kill Hood. He's the weak link. Sure, he's quite weak. But when for one power, he gets to have three defense dice counting blanks, and then any amount of damage lets him flip into his super tough form, and you've got Steve Rogers and Luke Cage looking after him, he doesn't die. Like, he just doesn't die. And I found this kind of weird, like, surviving Avengers build to actually be really good.
Yeah, I like the inclusion of Hood, because he is... if Hood can stick around on the table, and like you said, you're bringing a lot of tools... to help make it as hard as possible to take out Hood. So I like that addition, though. I hadn't considered that. Again, mm-hmm. I kind of landed on Mysterio as my unaffiliated three, but I do like the idea of Hood.
And you know what? Hood and Mysterio together would not be bad as two unaffiliated options. They could both fall into that game plan. If you are playing a fight in the middle of the table crisis, you could throw both of them in, and it would be absolutely fine. Have you had much chance to play with Cable?
I have not. I understand why. That's a bad qualifier there. I I honestly just haven't put him in there a lot. And I think it because, like I said, I'm excited about Hulk. I'm excited about Hulkbuster. And I really like Scarlet Witch. So it's not a knock on Cable. When Cable initially came out, I was playing him, but it wasn't with updated Cap. I obviously see him being a lot better. Telekinetic Shield. Yeah, I think that's the right one, right? The one that gives him the extra defense dice.
Yep.
Super good. His place is really good. Honestly, it's the same as like when original Strange came out. I like him with Cap, theoretically, but I just haven't gotten a chance to circle back to him yet. How have you liked Cable?
He's been really good. So he's obviously him and Strange both have the strong gimmick of under Steve Rogers, pay one power to increase anyone's defense dice by two. And obviously that has great synergy with Steve himself on his flip side. And then with the Count Blanks models like Black Panther, Iron Fist, whatever. That's obviously really good. The reason why I think Cable is worth consideration is, one, he's Avengers affiliated for some reason. Surprise to me, but sure. And two, he is very good for a specific kind of game plan, which is a kind of game plan that I personally like, which is conservative, get ahead and stay ahead style objective play. Because with Steve's leadership, he can body slide by one for one power. He starts with two power. So he can body slide in advance, pick up a centrally placed extract, and then advance backwards. And then not only is he letting you steal a center point and get away for free in affiliation, similar to Angela and Spider-Man, much more importantly than that, his character card is just much better for that game plan than either Angela or Spider-Man. You always have this problem when you steal like a spider infected with Angela and Spider-Man and run away. You're like, great, I've got a point. But now my aggressive characters with good defenses who want to be in the thick of things are a long way away holding this extract. And you have this difficult balance of, do you send them in to fight or do you maintain your scenario lead? Right? Cable doesn't have that problem because he's got his place that he's using every turn and he's got his range 5 gun. And he can happily run away shooting people and also spend all the power he makes with his gun to keep people alive with his shield. And he is exactly what you want for the game plan of get one victory point more than your opponent and then keep it for the whole game. And he is really good at playing this keep away, stay at arm length game plan and keeping everyone else in front of him alive in the process.
Yeah, again, I like the idea of it. You've probably talked me into trying it. I've got so many things I want to try, though, when I finish this house move, which we're closing on in just a couple days here. I could definitely see that coming into play. I like how bouncy Cable is, right? Mm-hmm. Right, body with his big base between Body Slide and Avengers Assemble, right? He can move around a lot. So I like what you're saying, and that honestly is how I prefer to play the game. I don't really like beating people down. So yeah, I should get him in there and give him a whirl. I like it. Just, again, right, the higher threat values are just honestly crowded.
Yeah, they are. And it can be. He's an example of a character that I would put in if I planned to play Steve primarily and I wanted some tricks. Right? He is
and that
good
is
for that
where
roster.
That is basically the roster I'm playing. And again, I like the idea of it. I think it's just been like I've been excited about new stuff, so I haven't considered them. But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely worth a try. I think the other thing in my head is like I played several games with him with pre-buffed Steve, and it probably felt bad for a number of reasons, but I just have that like muscle memory stuck in my head still.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's yeah, it can be tough in that situation, but I do think he's good and worth consideration. I mean, there's so many good Avengers. And really, all of them are worth consideration in the right circumstance. But I think it's really exciting to be thinking about where to take the team. And I think the last thing I wanted to mention as food for thought for the listeners is we talked already about how with Avengers, it almost feels like you're playing a dual affiliation roster in the sense that you can't get everything you want for every game plan in one squad. You could literally play dual affiliated, right? The Avengers have such a big squad. They've got three leaders from other affiliations inside their affiliation, right? They got Thor, they got Black Panther, they got She-Hulk. Oh, they got four. They got Cable.
Cable.
Yeah, they got four leaders from other affiliations inside their own affiliation. So you could absolutely pick one of the Captain Americas plus one of these and do a dual affiliation roster that way. And because Cyclops isn't an Avenger, is he? No, I don't think so.
I thought Cyclops was an Avenger.
He does seem really good with Steve's leadership, but I'm pretty sure he's not an Avenger.
Oh, you might be right.
Okay, cool. But they can definitely do a dual affiliation roster in that way as well, right? Where you have like a Steve Shenanigans roster plus a Wakanda roster, or a Sam Wilson roster plus an Asgard roster. I think that could be a perfectly viable option, especially when they have 10 tactics cards and they only need to spend one on an affiliated card.
They have a lot of leaders. Blade's in there too.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so they got five. They got five affiliation leaders inside. And yeah, you can easily... There's so much overlap, right? Because you've got Dr. Voodoo, Blade, Iron Fist as overlap, which is the core for your Midnight Suns roster. And you could easily throw in two or even all three of the Midnight Suns cards if you wanted and still have plenty of options for other tactics cards. You've got a bunch of overlap in A-Force. You've got a bunch of overlap in X-Force, right? With Deadpool, Wolverine. You can definitely, like, you've just got so many good options for Avengers.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I know this is kind of windy. So I've got two more questions here for you, Pat. I'm going to start with the list building one because we're kind of on it still. How do you feel about the two threat slot for Avengers?
So I'm going to be a bit brutal here. I don't think Black Widow was good enough. I don't think she is a good character. She doesn't do enough. I think what we've seen over time with Marvel is if your character can't do anything to impact other characters, they're not really worth it. And Black Widow is borderline not really worth it. If her mixed technique does damage and she gets a stagger, then she has good activations. But she's
a big
ask. She is too often just standing on a point and hoping to live. And there's too many situations where she's doing that in a way that's redundant, where she is not, like, she's standing on a point that also could be stood on by one of your cheap characters with a ranged attack. So I think I'm pretty down on Black Widow. I'd love to see people change my mind. And I know that other people are playing her. So maybe I'm on the extreme end of this opinion spectrum, and maybe she's actually fine. But I've been much preferring unaffiliated twos. And there's, like, I'm happy with almost any of them. There's a bunch of good ones to choose from, especially with the rebalance, right? We've just learned about improvements to Rocket and the spicy improvement to Bullseye being a two-threat character.
Bullseye is an interesting one, right? It lets him hit and run. And Parting Shot, too, right? I think Parting Shot costs two. That's the same ability that Three Widow, I think, has. Enjoyed messing around with Rocket and Groot. I don't think it's a good combination for Avengers, but I like them. They bring two pretty decent affiliation two decent tactics cards. I was just curious how you approach that, because for the wealth of affiliated characters Avengers have, right, they don't have a great two. So you end up doing some list building shenanigans where I have a five and a six. Because depending on what I have to do at the lower end, right, I tend to run with one more three than I normally would have in case, again, I have to like break stuff up in order to make affiliations work. So I was just curious in your thoughts there.
Yeah, it's actually especially awkward because right now my two threats that I take with Sam Wilson are Nebula and Okoye. And although both of them are perfectly good characters I'd be happy to take with Steve, Nebula has no synergy with his leadership, which is a slight downer. Right? Maybe it's not a big deal, especially on a two-threat character, but it's a bit of a downer. And Okoye obviously is superb and is very happy to benefit from Steve's leadership, but she is doing the same thing as him strategically, which is bodyguarding people and making range four attacks. And oftentimes they want to stand in the same place on the table. There's sometimes the crises will make you split your team and you can have one on either side. But I have found that she can be a little bit redundant where you don't feel like you need her as much as with other squads. So, like, the characters that I'd like with Steve are things like Toad, maybe Bullseye for the synergy, although maybe not. And so maybe you do need to, when you are not just messing around with good stuff like I was, maybe you do need to give a lot of consideration to your two threats, and maybe that does inform which leader you're going to have for preference.
Yeah, again, I went Rocket and Groot mainly to test them. I don't think it was as synergistic as I'd like, right? Rocket, to your point, doesn't get any benefit out of it at all. Obviously, Toad and Avengers is phenomenal, right? And it plays into that obnoxious, I'm going to steal these objective things and be kind of squirrely. I like that. The other question I have for you is Steve rosters, very viable. Mm-hmm. Sam rosters, very viable. Hulkbuster rosters?
I mean, I think they're viable because I think Hulkbuster is good and Avengers Assemble is good. But I think the leadership in your average game is a below average leadership, right? I think in the average game of MCP, there aren't enough throws that it's going to contribute as much as your opponent's leadership is going to contribute towards their chance of winning. Having said that, like we discussed already, I think it's a fantastic counter pick. I just think it would be a bit weird to have your plan first and foremost is to always play Hulkbuster's leadership just because those other two leaderships are both so sensationally good.
Yeah, and I think you can build a Hulkbuster-centric roster, but I would just take one of the other leaders, to be honest with you. Hulkbuster makes good use out of Steve. I understand that's a kind of expensive package. Hulkbuster's also super obnoxious if he gets to make benefits out of Sam. So
yeah, he's been good with both.
Yeah. So I think Hulkbuster-centric rosters are fine. I don't like him as your leader.
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't think his leadership is bad at all. It's a bit weird, right? Because sometimes it's not even a conversation because your affiliation only has one leader. Of the affiliations that have multiple leaders, sometimes one of them is just considered not great, and so it doesn't really get put in the conversation, an example being Cyclops. Sometimes one of them is situational and gets taken sometimes, and that's Mystique. Right, she's perfectly good as a leader, but more often people prefer to play Magneto. But sometimes you play Mystique's leadership when you have them both on the table, right? And I think Hulkbuster falls into that category. He's a situational leader, a good character with a situational leadership. It's just that his leadership is even made even more situational by the fact the other leaders are cheaper than him, so easier to fit into squads. And both of them are in the conversation for the best leaderships in the game. Like, their leaderships are incredible. And it's very hard, obviously, to have that conversation. It's very hard to decide which leadership is best. But I think you can make the case for either of them being one of the best.
So no, the competition, I definitely think they're in the conversation, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of competition, right? I think in another world, if you imagine it was like Mystique was the second Avengers leader next to Hulkbuster, then you might happily play Hulkbuster as your primary leader more often. But when the competition is so stiff, he's just not going to lead as often.
All right, so we know this episode's been kind of windy. Pat, I'm going to recap some high-level points here. Let me know if we missed anything. So obviously, I think first off, you got to pick what you want, right? Because there's too much good stuff to your words, right, to jam everything into a single roster. Mm-hmm. I think it's important, like you said, to talk about how different characters have different synergies with your leaderships, right? So which way are you going to be leaning to playing more often and kind of hit that home there, right? And then I think the third point for me was just like, what are you going to do with your other 7 tactics card slots? Or honestly, your other 9 tactics card slots? Because there's a lot of different ways you could go there. And there's really no wrong answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think this has been a good summary, but it really is only an introduction because we haven't talked about the most important thing when it comes to building your rosters, which is the crises, right? That's because I don't know about UTT, but I haven't really figured it out yet with all the changes that have come to crises. I haven't figured out what to do there, but I think that is going to add another layer that's going to make Avengers squad building really interesting and really diverse.
Yeah, Pat, I'm going to tell you a secret. I haven't figured it out yet because I figured you'll just figure it out and tell me, and then I don't have to figure it out for myself. And obviously, we'll be happy to share that with the listeners when Pat does figure that out. And we've gotten a couple requests for that, and this is just – it's an episode that Pat and I have talked about doing since we started hearing about it. But it's not one that we want to rush into. It's one that we really want reps with. We want a bunch of games. We want a bunch of experimentation with it. And we want to kind of do the episode justice. So we are aware that you all, the listeners, and thank you so much, want a crisis episode. And we are going to deliver one. Again, we just don't want to do like a, you know, we've done some hot takes on it, but we really want to kind of go deeper on it. We want a little bit more knowledge behind it before we do the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the time being, if you do want the hot takes, go back and listen to those in our episode about the mini extravaganza. And when we have more insight to share, don't worry, we will.
All right. So I think that was a great Avengers dojo. Hopefully it gives you some inspiration to go through stuff. So we do have our music bit coming up. And I was shocked at the fervor that a Patreon has for the wonderful pop star that we're doing here. So we've got one more song, Pat, and then I think you know the artist now.
Look, I'll be honest. I remembered it like a few seconds after the pod, but I kept quiet because I was hoping that you would do another rendition for us.
So I had to Google this song's name. Wonderful music video with Tom Hanks, but here we go. I really want to stop, but I just got the taste for it. I feel like I could fly with the boy on the moon. So honey, hold my hand. You like making me wait for it. I feel like I could die walking up to the room. Oh yeah. Late night watching television, but how'd we get in this position? It's way too soon. I know this isn't love, but I need to tell you something. I really, 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 really like you. And I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me too? I really, 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 really like you. And I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me too? Oh, did I say too much? I'm so in my head. When we're out of touch, I really, 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 really like you. And I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me too? So, Pat. I hope this song is at your upcoming wedding. And do you know the artist?
I love it. I was wrong. Carly Rae Jepsen is not a one-hit wonder. What a song.
I mean... okay. Have you seen the Tom Hanks music video for that?
No, but I'm going to track it down now.
I'll send you the link. It's actually, I love Tom Hanks. It was great to see him on there. So, everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening. Patrons, you can stay tuned for after the credit scenes. We're going to talk about Terrigen Clouds and Mayor Fisk. Everyone, again, thank you so much for your continued listening. Listenership. We're going to go with that. That's a word. To the podcast, really appreciate it. You can find everything we do at AcrossTheBifrost.com. You can support us and become a patron at patreon.com/AcrossTheBifrost. Until next time, everyone, cheers and happy gaming.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a in a lullaby, somewhere across the Bifrost skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.